I hear from a lot of job seekers who are age 50 or older who are struggling with finding the next job or finding a position, say, before retirement, or looking for something perhaps part-time. They're not ready to retire full-time. They're looking for something that they can continue to do outside the home. And baby boomers face some special challenges when they're looking for work.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson from the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show. So what do you do when you find yourself in later life and need to find yourself another job, either full-time or part-time? Where can you go? If it's been a while since you had to find yourself a job, well, things could have changed out there in the job market. Today's guest is Mac Pritchard, and he has Mac's List. He founded this several years ago, and it's like a job board. And Mac is really interesting, and he's up with all the latest in what you need to know about job hunting and is widely used by baby boomers and millennials. Our special guest today is Mac Pritchard, and Mac is from Mac's List. How are you going, Mac?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Anne?
I am feeling pretty good. It's getting towards the end of our rainy season, and I live on a farm, so I'm always interested in what the weather's doing.
Well, I live in the Pacific Northwest in the United States, and we're coming near the end of our rainy season. It starts in October, and you and I are recording this in April, but the days remain pretty wet here right through June.
Ah, okay. We have all our wet season in our summer, so our summer's sort of coming towards the end, and it's still hot, but it's supposed to be going into our autumn. So we're on the opposite sides of the planet here. Mac, how long have you been involved in Mac's List? You're the creator of it. What motivated you to do it, and how long has it been going?
It started 17 years ago, Anne, in 2001, when I left a job with state government here. I wanted to stay in touch with my colleagues, and the capital is about 45 miles south of where I live, and I knew I wouldn't be visiting very often. So what I hit upon was this. Many of us get job postings. They cross our desk. And I set up a very simple list with a few dozen names of professional colleagues I wanted to remain connected with. And I started forwarding job postings to them. I did this for 7 years before I finally turned it into a weekly newsletter. And it really took off then. It went from just a few dozen names to, in the course of 2 years after we launched a newsletter, almost 4,000 names, and I started charging for postings. We were sharing these job opportunities because it had turned into a part-time job. And now, 17 years later, Anne, Mac's List is a small business that employs 5 people, and we have a website that attracts about 80,000 visitors a month. And we provide not only a job board with positions in the United States, but advice through a podcast, a blog, books, and courses about job hunting that anybody anywhere in the world can use to find a great job.
Anywhere in the world. That sounds really interesting. So are baby boomers one of your target markets looking for work?
They are. We do annual surveys of our website visitors, and baby boomers are the second largest group of people we serve. Millennials are the largest now. But I hear from a lot of job seekers who are age 50 or older who are struggling with finding the next job or finding a position, say, before retirement, are looking for something perhaps part-time. They're not ready to retire full-time. They're looking for something that they can continue to do outside the home. And baby boomers face some special challenges when they're looking for work.
What would they be? Do they encounter problems because of their age?
Age discrimination is real. It's a fact of life, and it, of course, is illegal, but it's hard to win those law cases in the courts. It takes a lot of time and money. So when you're looking for work, if you're a baby boomer, you've got to think about how to make yourself the most attractive candidate possible to an employer. And there is bias in hiring that baby boomers face. But here's the good news, Anne. There are practical steps you can take as a candidate, if you're a baby boomer, to make yourself a successful candidate.
Oh, okay. So are you willing to share some secrets for the highlighting the best things or what to avoid doing, I suppose?
I think the most basic thing is be clear about what you want. And this is advice that is useful no matter what your age. Have clear job search goals, whether you're a millennial member of Generation X or a baby boomer. And if you're not clear about what you want, invest some time in figuring that out. And you can do that by working with a career coach. You can tap the resources available to you as a university graduate at a career services office, or you can talk to people at your public employment department. But once you know where you want to go, you got to pay attention to your search. And one of the first things you need to do is look at your online presence. Employers, when they're considering someone for an interview, there's surveys out there, Anne, that show more than 90% of employers Google us. And so it's important for baby boomers, and I'm 59, so I can sympathize with this, to pay attention to your online presence. Got to take a look at what an employer is going to see about you. And if nothing pops up, that is a problem, because one of the misconceptions about baby boomers is that we don't stay up to date with the latest technology. We're reluctant to learn new things. And if we don't have a digital presence, if we don't have a LinkedIn page, for example, if we're not active on one or two social media channels, employers are going to wonder how flexible and how current we are in our skills. And that's a problem.
Yes. So all that Facebook posting and LinkedIn has to be current. I suppose there's nothing worse than having an online presence and then you haven't done any postings for a couple of years.
Yes. So at a minimum, you should look at your LinkedIn profile and you need to make sure that it's complete. And that means that you need to have a professional photograph. Your employment history should be up to date for the last 15 to 20 years. You don't have to list every position you had going back to grade school or secondary school. The last 15 to 20 years is plenty. But make sure that in addition to listing your positions, that you also have endorsements from people in your network, that you have recommendations. These are the short testimonials that you can collect from former supervisors and colleagues. And you should make sure that your connections, the number of connections, is a robust one. You don't want to have just 20 or 30 connections, particularly for those of us who are farther along in our careers. You should probably have several hundred or even more than 500 connections, because after 25, 30 years in the workplace, you've built an impressive network. And it's not just about showing off those numbers. That network is one of our most valuable assets when we're doing a search. And baby boomers are blessed to have large networks because we've been in the workplace for a long time.
Yes, we have and gained a lot of experience. But is it relevant? How relevant it is something we did 20 years ago to today? What should we be highlighting to our possible employers?
Well, two things come to mind. First, think about those goals that you said earlier. When you're describing your work at previous employers, make sure that the work that you did as much as possible is relevant to what you want to do next. The second thing you need to do, not only on your LinkedIn profile, and but in your resume as well, is talk about accomplishments, about results, not about roles and responsibilities. Too many people use the resume and their LinkedIn page as a way of describing what they did at their jobs. And what you need to do is talk about what you got done. And here's the reason why. Employers hire problem solvers. When they're interviewing us for jobs, they've got a whole stack of work behind them, and they're thinking about all the problems they need to get fixed. And so if you come in as a candidate, and if you talk this way on your LinkedIn page and elsewhere in your application materials about the results you produced, you're going to stand out from other candidates, and you're going to be able to engage the interviewer in conversations about what you can do for them.
Right. Okay. So it's more about what we completed, tasks that we had, but what we completed. Is it true that we need to have a different sort of resume to the one that we used to have? Like, I know the last time I did a resume, I had everything listed out in timeline fashion. Is there a modern way of doing a resume now?
A chronological resume can be very effective earlier in your career or even mid-career. I think when we're older and more experienced, we also want to talk about our skills and our accomplishments. And I think there's an advantage for baby boomers to consider doing kind of across what is called a functional resume and a chronological resume. So you do want to describe your skills and what you offer, and that is what you do in what is called a functional resume. But you also want to describe your work history and the results that you produced for those employers, and that is what you do in a chronological resume. So I'm a big believer for more mature workers and using combining those two formats. Don't fret too much about the length. It's okay to go to two pages. And again, we touched on this a moment ago. You don't have to list every job you ever had. It's okay to go back just 15 or 20 years.
So how we communicate is different now to many years ago as well. Are we applying for jobs online? We're not fronting up. We're not mailing in a resume. We're not fronting up even necessarily for a job interview. How has that changed?
Well, in a couple of ways, Anne. First of all, it's important to remember that most jobs are never posted on job boards. I run a job board. I'm proud of the value it offers. But most positions, and there are estimates out there, this is true for as many as 80% of all jobs, most positions are filled by word of mouth. So our challenge when we're looking for work is to become part of the conversations in what's called the hidden job market. These are hiring managers who are turning to trusted sources or colleagues or others for recommendations about candidates they should speak with. And to your point, yes, in the old days, it was the traditional way to look for work was to apply and send in an application and wait. And sometimes you still need to do that, particularly for government jobs or large companies. But there's a back door, and that is where the hidden job market operates. And so you need to do both. And that means that when you're thinking about what you want to do next, particularly if you're a mature worker, you've got to tap into your network of colleagues and friends and family, let them know where you want to go, what your goal is, and get advice about who might be hiring, who might be adding to the staff. And you should also do that traditional search as well. Pay attention to the companies and their websites where they post jobs, but don't wait for a position to be posted, especially if you're an older worker. Use your professional network to find out about openings either before they're advertised or the positions that are never advertised.
Right. What else do we need to do to update, to be more relevant and to not be focused on our age, I suppose? Is age a problem with employers?
Well, some employers may have misconceptions about older workers, and they're not going to tell you that directly. But the common stereotypes about boomers include a list of things like this, and that, you know, we talked about how there might be sense that we're reluctant to try new things. Some hiring managers might think that boomers are reluctant to work for younger supervisors. They might worry that boomers haven't kept up to date with the latest tools. Another misconception might be that boomers are looking for a place just to coast before retirement in a few years, and they're not going to be as especially productive. So when you're looking for work in your 50s or 60s, you want to pay attention to those misconceptions and you want to address them. And the way you do that is through your application materials and how you present yourself in the interviews. So think about the list we just went through. And what you need to do is demonstrate that you are a learner, that you are comfortable with new technology. You need to show that you're comfortable working for either younger or diverse supervisors. And you need to put this both in your application materials and in your interview. And as in writing, it's always best to show rather than tell. So present examples either in when responding to interview questions or in your resume or where possible in your cover letter that shows that you are both a learner, comfortable with new technology, have experience working with a variety of bosses. And that's the strategy that you should follow for overcoming all those misconceptions.
I see. And how relevant now are references? I know in the really old days, we used to have a written reference. And now I know in later times, it was like a phone number to have there that they could ring. So what part does a reference play in a job application?
It's still very important. And it matters in two different phases in the job search process. First of all, remember that employers will Google you. The first site that will likely pop up is LinkedIn. There's an opportunity on your LinkedIn account to put in what are called recommendations. These are personal statements from other LinkedIn members who describe their experience working with you. Employers pay attention to that when they look at your account, particularly if those recommendations are coming from people they know. The references also matter when you're a finalist for a job. The employer will always check your references, and at a minimum, they'll look at the three or perhaps five names that you've given them, and they will contact those folks. Many employers will go beyond that, and they'll look for mutual connections that they find either through LinkedIn or just through their own professional networks, and they will call those people without telling you. So you want to make sure, if you're a finalist for a job, when you turn over a list of references, that you let those references know that they can expect to get a call. It's also ideal if you can tell your references what are some of the concerns that an employer might have about your candidacy. And you should let the references know why you're excited about the job. You don't want your references to be blindsided by a call that they haven't had a chance to prepare for. You know, and in terms of old-fashioned approaches, it used to be customary to say references available upon request on your resume. We don't need to do that anymore. Employers know that they can get a list of references from you. And frankly, you can use that space on the resume for talking about other things that are more important, like your accomplishments.
Right. Very good advice. What else do we need to do to make a good impression? If we get to be a finalist, I assume that they will want to see us in person or do an interview over the internet, a live interview. So what else should we be looking at? How should we be presenting ourselves?
When you're a finalist for a job and you're invited for an interview, whether it's in person or via Skype, you want to keep a couple of things in mind. First of all, as a boomer, you want to address those misconceptions that we talked about. And these, again, might include that people don't think you're a learner, that you haven't kept up to date. So when you have that conversation, pay attention to your clothing that you choose and personal grooming. You don't want to dress 20 or 30 years younger than you are, but you do want to have a modern professional look. And grooming and clothing choices matter a lot, no matter what your age, but especially when you're a boomer. gives you an opportunity to show that you're up to date and current with what's happening in the workplace. In terms of preparation, you need to think about your employer's problems and come in prepared to both offer ideas about how to address them, but you also want to consider having a set of questions that will allow you to draw out the interviewers in more detail about their problems. One of my favorite questions to ask in an interview, and I've seen it work effectively for so many candidates, is this. When you have a chance to ask questions, say to the manager, if I'm lucky enough to get this job in a year's time, and you and I are sitting down and we're doing my first annual review, what are the three things you want me to tell you I've done for you? And what happens, Anne, when you ask that question is the employer almost always pauses, thinks for a moment, and then they tell you about something that wasn't in the job posting, wasn't in the interview questions. It's some need that they have that hasn't been discussed yet. And the great thing about that is you now have insights into something the other candidates may not know about unless they've asked the same question. You also have an opportunity to talk about how you would approach that problem. And that shows you as a problem solver. And it also lets you engage that hiring manager in a conversation and you begin to relate to each other as peers. This is especially important if you're an older worker, because chances are one of the advantages you have over the other candidates is a lot of professional and life experience. So you're going to have great insights into how to address that employer's problems, but you got to have the opportunity to show off your expertise. And asking that question in an interview is one way to do it.
Well, that's been very good advice that you've shared with us today, Mac. In summary, would you like to just go over how a baby boomer can beat the bias in the job search?
Yes. Again, start with your goals. Where do you want to go? Do you want to change careers? Do you want to move into a new sector? Do you want to move up? Have a clear understanding of what your next step is, because that will save you so much time and effort in a search. Then pay attention to the misconceptions hiring managers may have about older workers. We've talked about those at some length, and write down those concerns. And then when you're preparing your application materials, your online presence, getting ready for interviews, create material that addresses those concerns. Nobody's going to ask you those questions directly. So you've got to show the interviewers that you are up to date, that you have kept your skills up, that you like learning, that you have to show why you're eager for this job and what you can do for the employer. These are things that are good tips for any candidate to follow, but they are especially important for older workers because there are these unspoken misconceptions that will never get raised in the interview. So you've got to come out, walk into that room with a strategy to address them. And, you know, pay attention to your, not only your online presence, but your personal presence too. Grooming and appearances do matter, especially with older workers.
Well, it's great that you've been able to share so much with us today, Mac. And if listeners are keen to find out more about you and Mac's List, where would they go?
Visit our website. It's maxlist.org. As I mentioned, we have many articles, several courses, and books about job hunting. Those are relevant to job seekers no matter where you live. We do have a podcast, Dan. We publish every Wednesday. It's called Find Your Dream Job. You can find it on iTunes and our website. And every week, I talk to a different national expert about the nuts and bolts of job hunting. So if you want to brush up your job hunting skills, that's a great free resource to do it. I mentioned that we have a book. It's called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. And if your listeners would like to get a free chapter, or the first chapter rather, of the book for free, they can go to maxlist.org/retirehappy.
Thank you very much. It's been great having you on the show today. So this is Anne Nelson from Retire Well, Retire Happy, and we've been listening to Mac Pritchard from Mac's List.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.